Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in the sight of the Lord as our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The sermon for today, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, I'm calling Baptism is the First Step. The sermon was written by the Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, Jr. The Gospel readings for the Epiphany season describe various ways Jesus showed himself to the world. These showings or manifestations are called Epiphanies, appearances. On Epiphany itself, Jesus manifested to Gentile wise men, showing that he is not only the Messiah of Israel, but also the Savior of everyone else. Last week he showed himself to us as a precocious pre-adolescent boy who comes to the temple to assert his connection to his Heavenly Father. Today's Epiphany comes at Jesus' baptism. He is manifested not only as the Messiah, but also as God's Son and the second person of the Holy Trinity. The baptism reveals the two main things the Church claims. Jesus is the Savior the Old Testament promises, and God became a man. Jesus submitted to a baptism, literally a getting wet, that was encouraged and administered by his cousin, John the Baptist. John said that the long-awaited Messiah was about to appear, that people should prepare for his arrival by turning away from their sins, and that the best way to show the intention to turn away from sin was to get dunked in the Jordan River. John baptized on the spot where Joshua had led the Israelites into the Promised Land some 13 centuries earlier. Later on, John said that the other reason he baptized was that God had told him that while he was baptizing, he would find out exactly who the coming Messiah was. John the Baptist tells his own disciples, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and bear record, that this is the Son of God." What John says about Jesus' baptism can help us understand how it connects to the baptism we administer to people in the Church. John says that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself says that you cannot go to heaven unless you are born of water and the Spirit. At the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples to go teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We baptize people because Jesus tells us to. We use water because he tells us to use water. We use the name of the Holy Trinity because that is the formula he tells us to use. Simple. Our baptism with water in the name of the Trinity is the baptism Jesus brings. It is not the water baptism John administered to Jesus and to the crowds at the Jordan. Our baptism is baptism with the Holy Ghost. John's baptism did not change the people whom he baptized. He merely showed that they wanted to be cleaned up from their sins. The baptism of Jesus, the baptism the Church administers, makes a fundamental change in the person being baptized. First of all, he becomes a member of the body of Christ, the Church. In the same way my arm is a member of my body. A baptized person is an organic part of the body through which Jesus does his work in the world. In baptism, we die the death we deserve, the death that is the punishment for our sins, our disobeying God. After we are baptized, we live by the power of the Holy Ghost. We have eternal life from that point on, because we are living God's life, and God's life never ends. Baptism is also an adoption ceremony in which God takes each of us on as his own child and gives us the same status that his one natural child, Jesus, enjoys. Jesus tells us to use the name of the Trinity because baptism makes us part of the Trinity. We are in the Son, so the Spirit, the power which connects the Father and the Son, flows through us. People often ask if baptism guarantees salvation. If you are baptized, does that assure you a ticket to heaven, even if you make no further Christian effort in your whole life? Clearly, the answer to that question is no. Baptism is necessary, but it is not all that is necessary. First of all, we baptize babies in our church. We do that because it seems to be the New Testament practice, and because it was what everybody did until the 16th century, and it is what the vast majority of Christians continue to do now. Jesus and St. Paul both say, however, that to be saved, you have to make an adult commitment. You have to proclaim your loyalty to Christ in public as soon as you know what you are doing. That is something the biblical sacrament of confirmation accomplishes. Salvation and going to heaven boil down to having a relationship with God through Christ. A relationship like any other one, in which you have to keep the connection alive on a regular basis. We keep our relationship to God going by confessing our sins week by week and claiming the forgiveness Jesus won for us on the cross. By talking things over with God in prayer and Bible study, and by getting our eternal life recharged by eating Jesus' body and drinking his blood as he commands. Baptism is the first step on the path to heaven, but then you have to let the Holy Ghost who comes into you at baptism keep you on the path. That is why the prayer book's baptism service does not proclaim, "This is it," but prays instead that this person may lead the rest of his life according to this beginning. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.